Hi, this is Dr. Tina Webb, and you are listening to the Coping Season Podcast, the show that discusses mental and emotional wellness to help Black men and Black women begin to heal and cope with the effects of emotional distress. Although I am a licensed clinical social worker, please note that this podcast is not meant to be used as a substitute for a relationship with a licensed therapist. Get ready to laugh, think, and be entertained. It's time to cope. Let's get started. Hey, everybody. I am so glad to be back with you all today. I'm back and I'm better. I'm feeling so much better, you guys. I was so sick. I mean, what was I sick for? Like about 5 or 6 weeks. I tried doing the show last week. I started recording, but my voice was so messed up and I just felt so awful. I tried to sing a song last week and I kept on straining my voice and I was like, okay, this is just not working out. I need to rest. And so that's what I did. I rested one more week and now I'm back and I missed y'all. I miss you. I'm talking to my listeners. I missed you. What y'all know about that Aaron Hall? Come on, y'all. We used to talk and laugh all night, girl. What happened to those days? Did they all just fade away? Holding you in my arms. Y'all remember that? Made me feel so happy. And then what happened? Come on, y'all. Then you said you had to go. What's wrong? Baby, I need to know. But now that you can come, but you're long gone away. Now I'm missing. I miss you. Oh, yes, I do. How many of y'all don't know the words right there? Because I sure don't. I always get to that part and be like, and now see, now y'all know I'm feeling better. All this singing and laughing and joking. I really missed you guys. And I am so happy to be here. And we've got a lot to talk about today. So let's just get right into it. How many of y'all are keeping up with the Olympics, the Olympic trials? Let me tell y'all, do you see all of this Black girl magic, all of this Black excellence on display for the world to see? There are so many Black women Olympians on Team USA that are going to Tokyo this year, and I am so proud and just so excited to see. Now, keep in mind, of course, Black women in sports at the Olympics is not anything new. Like, we've been going to the Olympics, but for the first time in history in 2021, we are seeing just an overwhelming number of Black women who are the best. And they have us with our eyes wide open, our mouths wide open, jaws dropping, looking at them breaking these records and just all of this athletic greatness that we are seeing and watching right now. Like I say, it's not anything new. We've always seen athletic greatness in the Olympics coming from Black people. But this year, there are a lot of Black women from all different backgrounds, from different sports. They are trailblazers, and they are the ones that we are going to be watching this summer, because not only are we watching their greatness, we are also watching, they have a message. We are watching activism. We're watching so many different things take place right now, and it is truly breathtaking. It's amazing. They are breaking barriers. You know, what I see is just fearlessness. Beautiful, Black, bold women who are taking a stand, who are out here and they're showing that there are no limits. There's nothing that you cannot do, that you cannot achieve. And so it's just really going to be powerful for the next generation. It's powerful for our generation to just see this, for you to be the best at your craft. And to just get out there and break some of these cultural stigmas, some of these stigmas that people have about Black women. Like, it doesn't matter what you look like. You're out there with orange hair, long fingernails, lashes, tattoos. You're beautiful. And it doesn't matter, because you came to do what needs to be done. You got the job done. I'm talking about Sha'Carri Richardson. beautiful 21-year-old track star. You know how many times I watched that video when she was competing? And before she even got to the finish line, she started pointing at that shot, at that clock, to let you know she declared that victory right before she even got there. And then after she won, she went looking for her grandmother and just collapsed in her arms. Like, we did it. Mama, we made it. I did it. And I just, it touched my heart so much because she is us. She is us, Sha'Carri Richardson. She represents all of us. And she is phenomenal, like all of us. You know, we still have Naomi Osaka. She's taking a mental health break right now, but she is going to show up to the Olympics and do what needs to be done. You know, maybe we would have had Serena Williams too, but she just said that she is not competing for reasons that she does not want to talk about right now. So, like I said, there's a lot of activism going on. So we'll find out more from her later on about why she's not competing. But you already know, Serena is our forever champion. And of course, we have Allyson Felix. You know, she's a runner, she's a track star. She gonna run away when it gets hard. You got Allyson Felix. She is a 3-time world champion with 9 Olympic medals, and she is headed back right now. This is going to be her 5th time going to the Olympic Games, and she had a baby. So she's going to be out here killing it. We got Aja Wilson. Aja Wilson, she is the Las Vegas Aces WNBA player from South Carolina. So she is very outspoken too when it comes down to women's issues, equality for women in sports. So a lot of, like I said, activism going on a lot. And that's nothing new. You know, when you go to the African American Museum in DC, you will see like the statues of Tommy Smith and John Carlos. Now, those were 2 African American athletes that were competing in the 1968 Olympics, and they held up that Black Power salute. So, like I said, we have always been activists and stood up for our rights. They held that fist up, they put a black glove on their fist. You remember that picture you see? And they're standing there, and they have a statue now at the African American Museum in DC. I'm telling you, if you have not been to that museum, go. You have to go. And you got to make sure you dedicate at least 2 to 3 days to seeing everything that's in there. It is so amazing. Full of culture, full of history. It's just beautiful. And there's a statue there, and it is the exact replica of the 1968 Olympics Black Power salute that Tommy Smith and John Carlos did. They put a black glove on and they held a fist up when the national anthem was playing, when they were playing the Star Spangled Banner, and they wore human rights badges on their jacket. You know, they also wore beads and scarves to oppose the lynchings that were happening to black people. And they wore black socks with no shoes to highlight poverty. So they came with a whole message, and they faced a lot of repercussions. They were threatened. They were vilified. They were told that they were unpatriotic. They went through a lot during that time. But guess what? They gained a lot of respect, and a lot of people got courage to stand up and to speak out as well. And so this is still to this day a very, very symbolic moment in history. It is a very important moment in history. And like I said, there is nothing new under the sun. Black people, black athletes have always taken opportunities. Oftentimes, not all athletes, because some people, there is a lot of loss that comes from this. You can lose money, like LeBron James. He is one of those people who have come along. He doesn't care what he loses. He doesn't care what people say about him. He is an activist, and he fights for justice. He fights against racial injustice. He is fighting for equity, equality, and he's putting it all out there on the line. And that's what you have to do in order to change things. Some athletes, they're afraid of losing money, losing endorsements, losing all kinds of things. And instead, they sit quietly, or they feel like, you know what, these are not my issues anymore because I have money. But LeBron James isn't like that. And also, we just now witnessed Gwen Berry. She is competing right now in the Olympic trials. And what did she just now do? So Gwen Berry, she is on the track and field team. She's a hammer thrower, and she just competed in Oregon. And what she did was they played the national anthem, and she turned away from the flag and she faced the stands while they were playing the Star Spangled Banner. So she turned her back on it during the ceremony. And then once it was over, she put a t-shirt on her head, and it said the words "activist athlete." Oh, and I forgot to mention, She's headed to the Olympics. That's right. She is headed to the Olympics. But guess what they're doing? Since she turned her back on the national anthem, she put that t-shirt on her head saying that she's an athlete activist. She's being vilified. The same thing that I just told you what happened to those men in 1968 is happening to her right now. You got people talking about her. All of the people are coming out and they're trying to say she's unpatriotic, that she has something against America, that she needs to be canceled, that she shouldn't be allowed to go to the Olympics. So all of this stuff, all of this backlash is coming before her, and it's not a shock. But guess what? If you follow Gwen Berry, like, this is not new to her. She's an activist. In 2019, she lost sponsorships. She lost all kinds of endorsements and different stuff because she raised her fist in protest when she was at the Olympic Games, not the Olympic Games, the Pan American Games in Peru. So she's done this before. She's gotten on probation because of her efforts to highlight social injustice being done in America. So, you know, like she said, too, it's been devastating to her to lose money and all of these things, but she's doing what needs to be done to bring about awareness and to fight for justice. And guess what? Really, there's nothing that can be done. There's nothing that they can do about it because the Olympic and the Paralympic Committee, they put an open letter out there earlier this year, and they were saying that you can talk about racial justice and social injustice during the Olympic trials. There, as long as it's respectful, a respectful demonstration on the topic of racial and social injustice, it is allowed. So continue on, sis. You know, we have Simone Manuel going back and competing in the Olympics this year, and she is the record holder. She is the first Black woman to ever win a swimming gold medal in the 2016 Olympics, and she still holds that to this day, and she's going back to compete again. And something else I want to talk about on this episode, because we're talking about Black excellence. And with Black excellence, it's kind of controversial because some people say that there are consequences to this term, Black excellence. When we internalize these words of Black excellence, we face consequences of perfectionism, stress, anxiety. And in the case of Simone Manuel, right before she just qualified for the Olympics, she won that swimming match, she had just been diagnosed with overtraining syndrome. So she was very tired and fatigued, but she still made it through and was able to compete and make it to the Olympics. And we're going to talk about that. She's facing exhaustion, fatigue, overtraining, overworking her body to be the best. So we're going to talk about it. You know, are there consequences to Black excellence? Does Black girl magic come with consequences? It's something to think about. But either way, consequences or not, I am just glad that we are here, that we have a seat, that we are there, and you have a platform. We have a platform. Use it how you will. And I mean Black girl magic, y'all. It's in every sport. We got Crystal Dunn. She is a soccer star and she excels at everything in her sport. And she's headed to the Olympics. Team USA right here. Last time she didn't get a medal, but this time hopefully she gets the gold medal and we're going to be rooting for her. Crystal Dunn, y'all. And that's not it. The list goes on. Now, y'all see the title of this episode is about Simone Biles. We haven't even got to Simone Biles yet. We got Nia Tapper from South Carolina, y'all, from rugby. She is on the rugby team, and we are going to be looking out for her, too, to bring back home that Olympic gold. Yes, y'all. We got Dalila Muhammad. She does the 400-meter hurdles, and she is an Olympic champion, y'all. So we are looking for her to bring home the gold. We got Kendra Kenny Harrison. She does the 100-meter hurdles. We're going to be looking for her to bring home the gold. We got Ashley Johnson. She is one of the best goalkeepers in the world, y'all. And I'm not talking about soccer. She is a goalkeeper. We're talking about water polo. Yes. In 2016, she became the first Black woman to make the United States Olympics water polo team. So I am just looking forward to her bringing home the gold as well. We got Deja Young. She is a track and field athlete. She's a Paralympic athlete. She was born with a disability. So she was born with, it's a condition that limits her mobility in her right shoulder. But She is fast. She gets the job done. She is doing what needs to be done. And hopefully she brings home that gold medal as well. The condition that she was born with is called brachial plexus injury that causes nerve damage and is limited mobility to her right shoulder. And she's going to the Olympics, y'all. Then we got Vashti Cunningham. She is the daughter of the NFL star quarterback Randall Cunningham. Well, he's a former NFL star quarterback. And she's one of the women's high jumpers. She's one of the best high jumpers in the world. And she's going to the Olympics, y'all. She's going to bring home that gold. We got Javian Oliver. She is also on Shakari Richardson's team. She's a track star, and hopefully she's going to bring home that gold too, y'all. We got Tina Daniels, and she spells Tina T-E-A-H-N-A. I love it. Tina Daniels, y'all. She is a 100-meter athlete, so she's in the track and field as well, and she's heading over there. She's on that same team with Oliver and Richardson, so we're going to see. She's going to compete and bring home that gold, I'm telling you. We got Christina Clemens. She does the 100-meter hurdles. Oh, and let me tell you about Christina Clemens. She out here already about to make some money for Doritos, okay? They done had a viral moment just from her being stylish. You know, she competed and she did the 100 meter hurdle that got her to the Olympics, and she had on these earrings, and they were like little mini bags of Doritos as earrings. And now that was a viral moment for Doritos. So who knows what she's gonna get out of that? She's probably gonna get some endorsements, some commercials or something. I'm just so proud of us and just so excited. I cannot wait for the Olympics next month. We got Quinera Hayes. Now, she's a sprinter, and she's gone up against the most prestigious track and field schools in the world, and she has beat out the competition every time. She even beat Allison Felix, and that is the lady that I just told you about. She's been to the Olympics like 6 times, or this is her 5th time or so that she's going. But now this year we got Quinera Hayes. She's headed to the Olympics. Hopefully she brings home some of the medals, okay? We got Wadalene Jonathan. She is another track and field star. So she's headed to the Olympics. I'm telling you, this is going to be amazing. Track and field, as always, we always have excellent people in that category. But I'm telling you, we got water polo, soccer, tennis, basketball, hammer throwing, 100 meter, 400 meter, 200 meter. And we have gymnastics, y'all. Let me tell you about Simone Biles. She is the greatest of all time. I don't even know where to start. Simone Biles, y'all. Remember in 2014? She became the first woman, not black woman, the first woman, period, in history to win 4 titles at one time. She competed in 2014 at a single world championship and won 4 titles. But guess what? She did it again in 2015. She did it again in 2018. And then in 2019, she did it again. Well, not again. She outdid herself. She broke her own record, and she won not 4 titles, but 5. Let me tell you, when we talk about black girl magic, when we talk about black excellence, when we talk about amazing talent, when we talk about excellence, period, not just black. Let me not keep saying that, but that's the title of the show. And I think that's where some of the controversy comes in, because it's like, why does it have to be black excellence? Why can't it just be excellence? Why does it have to be black girl magic? Why can't it just be magic? Why can't we just be who we are without putting the black in front of it? And there's reasons why, unfortunately, historical reasons why we got to put black in front of it, reasons why we have to be proud and we have to highlight the fact that we are black and we are excellent, we are amazing, we are here. And so, you know, like I say, Simone Biles, she is amazing. She holds the record for the most medals in world championship history. She has 25 medals and she holds 19 world titles. She is the best of the best in the entire world when it comes down to gymnastics. Very impressive. Talk about finding your purpose and living out your dreams and living your purpose. That's what she's doing. And she already has 5 Olympic medals. She has 4 gold medals and she has 1 bronze medal from the 2016 Rio Games. And she's headed to the Olympics, y'all. She's headed to Tokyo. And guess what? She is going to break some records in Tokyo. I can guarantee it. There's two records that she can break when she goes to Tokyo to the Olympics. Now, there is a record for the most Olympic medals won by any woman in any sport. There's this lady named Jenny Thomas. She was a swimmer and she has 8 gold medals. So Simone Biles, she could beat that record and come back and have those 8 medals. I mean, she don't even need 8. She already has 5, so she needs 3 more. And I bet you she's going to get them. And then the other record that she could break is the international record for the most Olympic medals won by any woman in any sport. So the first one was the American record for the most medals. And now she can win the international record for the most medals. And that is 9 gold medals. And that's held by a Soviet gymnast named Larisa Latnina. And she won in 1964. And guess what? In 1964 was the last time that the Olympics was held in Tokyo. Ooh, that just gives me chills. The last time that that record was set was in 1964, and it was in Tokyo. And guess what? The next time that that record is about to be broken, it's about to be broken right now, 2021, in Tokyo by Simone Biles. I think she's going to do it, y'all. And guess what? If she does do it, she is going to be the first, not black woman, the first American woman, period, in history, in any sport, to win 5 gold medals at a single games. So this could be very historical. So I don't know. I'm just rooting for her and I just cannot wait to see this. Now, she could either tie or break their records, but either way, she is making Olympic history. She's making world history because guess what? If she does this, she's going to do something that hasn't been done in 50 years. The last time this was done was 50 years ago, and that was in 1968. So this is going to be a huge deal. I'm going to be watching. The world is watching. I am rooting for her, and I'm so, so excited, and I'm just proud of her. I am proud of all of these beautiful women. I'm proud of us, all of us. UNITY, that's a unity, UNITY. On today's segment of Ask Dr. Tina, I wanted to read a quote from Simone Biles, since that's the title of the episode, but y'all, Sha'Carri Richardson, I gotta read a quote from her, because after she won and she pointed at that clock, she won, she collapsed on her grandmother, she caught her breath and she came back. She's 21 years old and her mother passed away the week before she ended up winning this. And, you know, I think she was raised by her grandmother, though. But like she said, you just don't know what people are going through. She got out there and she did what needed to be done. And when they asked her and she had a chance to speak, she said, and I quote, "I just want the world to know that I'm that girl, that every time I step on the track, I'm going to try to do what it is that me, my coach, and my support team believe I can do." And that's what Sha'Carri Richardson had to say. Oh, and then they asked her about her hair. And this is what she said. And I quote, "It's loud and encouraging and honestly dangerous. Knowing I'm coming to one of the biggest meets there is, if you're going out there and be the best, you need to look the best," end quote. Now, you know, like I said, her mother had passed away last week and they asked her about that as well. She revealed that her mother had passed away, that she was dealing with a heavy heart. And when she collapsed on her grandmother and she was just crying after she made it and just exhausted on her, you know, it means so much more to know what she has lost. She lost her mom. And they asked her about that too. And she said, "I'm still here. Last week, finding out my biological mother passed away and still choosing to pursue my dreams, still coming out here, still here to make the family that I do still have on this earth proud. And the fact is, nobody knows what I go through. Everybody has struggles, and I understand that. But y'all see me on this track, and y'all see the poker face that I put on. But nobody but them and my coach know what I go through on a day-to-day basis. I am highly grateful for them. Without them, there would be no me. Without my grandmother, there would be no Sha'Carri Richardson. My family is my everything until the day I'm done." And that's what Sha'Carri Richardson had to say. I just love it, y'all. We are so blessed to still be alive, to be here during this time of history. And I just cannot wait to see and all of this greatness that is going to be before us next month during these Olympics. So very exciting times. You know, for me, it's the moments like these that make the dark times more bearable. Because as Black people, we deal with a lot of hurt. We deal with a lot of pain, injustice, just always having to fight or to stand up against something. There's always something being done in our community, something being done to us. And, you know, when we get moments like this, it gives us a chance to just be proud and to be happy and to cheer each other on and to celebrate in the dark times, even though everything else is still happening. Nothing has changed. Certain things still can bring us joy. And it's like that saying, like they say, trouble don't last always. And this is a moment where we can sit and we can enjoy and we can take a moment to just be a part of something great and cheer these beautiful Black queens on. And kings. It's not just Black women in the Olympics. I chose to talk about Black women today, but there are Black kings in the Olympics as well. And we're going to be cheering everybody on. I cannot wait. You know, when we talk about Black excellence, this is something that we are taught our whole lives, that you got to be 10 times better. You got to work 3 times harder. You got to stand out. You have to work hard. You have to do the best. You have to be the best. And Black excellence is something that we strive for. It's the idea of overcoming adversity, overcoming poverty, overcoming racism and all of the barriers that hold us back or that have been put in place to keep us back, to keep us from excelling and from being the best and from being ourselves. Black excellence is about being young, gifted, and Black, and using those gifts, using those talents to overcome, using your mind to just overcome and transcend beyond any obstacle that is put in front of us, to be limitless. You know how they used to say, sky is the limit. There is no limit. There are no ceilings. There's nothing that we can't do. And when we see that, when we see people in the Black community that are exceptional, that are excellent, that are putting on display all their greatness, it makes us feel proud. It makes us feel inspired. It makes us dig deep within ourselves to pull out our talents. It makes us want to get out there and be great as well. It pushes us to take on leadership roles, to be leaders in the community, to be activists, to be great parents, great lovers and partners and friends. It pushes us to reach our full potential. And then it inspires the next generation because they can see, you know what? We had to go through 400 years of slavery. We never got our 40 acres and a mule. We still had to start from the same position that we were left at after slavery ended and still have to try to pull ourselves forward and pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps is what they used to say. And, you know, we still had to do that and try to see the best way that we can make it. And we did. You know, we had communities, we had banks that we owned, we had whole communities with businesses and just our own homes and our own everything. We were thriving. We were proud of each other. We were proud of all that we've accomplished. And then it was taken away. Tragically, a lot of tragedies happened to us. A lot of racism still to this day, a lot of injustice, a lot of violence perpetrated against us, a lot of darkness, dark times that we face every single day, microaggressions that affect us mentally, emotionally. But then there's that Black girl magic. There's that Black boy joy. There is what we bring to the table that helps us to reach our full potential, that helps us to uplift the community. It helps us to reach this place of what we call Black excellence. But like I talked about, Black excellence is controversial because people say this idea of Black excellence is the cause of anxiety in the Black community, of obsession, of perfectionism, of exhaustion, of us killing ourselves, of us having, you know, just being mentally and emotionally unwell because we are constantly working and trying to just prove something to the community, prove something to ourselves, prove something to white America that we are here and we aren't going anywhere. And it is our God-given right to excel, to be the best, There is a history of Black excellence and exceptionalism being used to push an agenda in the Black community. There's reasons why we talk about Black excellence, Black exceptionalism, because during the early 20th century, we were moving from this idea of Black people just being farmers or country bumpkins, or we don't know anything and not being scholars or just farming the land and stuff like that. We were moving from that and moving into being scholars, into becoming teachers, into becoming, you know, we were carving out space for us to become and be put in roles that you traditionally don't see Black people in. You know, we were becoming CEOs, owning businesses, and doing a lot of different things. We wanted to show that we can contribute to society like everyone else. You know, a great example of this is with W.E.B. Du Bois. He published a famous essay in 1903 in a book called The Negro Problem. And in the first two sentences of that essay, he says, "The Negro race, like all races, is going to be saved by its exceptional men. The problem of education, then among Negroes, must first of all deal with the talented 10th. It is the problem of developing the best of this race, that they may guide the mass away from the contamination and death of the worst in their own and other races." So this idea of Black excellence and exceptionalism is not anything new. You know, the talented 10th, it's a term, it's a phrase that was made popular by W.E.B. Du Bois, but it wasn't created by him. But the concept of it is that, you know, because W.E.B. Du Bois, he believed that Black people should be educated, that we should have the opportunity to seek higher education. And that is how we are going to excel and become leaders. W.E.B. Du Bois felt like education was key. And so he emphasized the need for higher education to develop leadership capacity among the most able 10% of Black Americans. And so basically what W.E.B. Du Bois was stressing the importance of, he was saying that in order for us to Black people to get to a place of having political and civil equity and equality, we have to become educated. We got to have like teachers. We got to have professional people out there. We got to have ministers, spokesmen, Black people who are willing to dedicate themselves to inspiring everyone else. Now, if you know the history of what was happening during this time, you know, we had W.E.B. Du Bois, and then we also had Booker T. Washington, and they were, you know, Booker T. Washington was the nemesis of W.E.B. Du Bois. Booker T. Washington was saying that, no, we need to like be trained to work and to develop skills, and that's how we can get out there. But W.E.B. Du Bois was saying that's going to keep Black people as second class citizens. We need education. Higher education is what's going to get us free, you know, and that's what's going to help us to make money. And yes, it's good. We can use our hands and we can build things. We already have the skills of our hands. Now we have to get educated, and we got to have our brains also be able to be a skill that we can use as well. So basically in this essay, W.E.B. Du Bois, he argued for the higher education of a 10th of the Black community, of the Black population. And out of those, the 10th of the Black population that would be educated, he wanted them to become the leaders of the Black community. And this is important because it contributes to why we talk about Black excellence today. This concept contributes to the idea of the Black elite, the Black exceptional person, the Black excellent individual who has reached their full potential. You know, W.E.B. Du Bois, he believed that if we educate the best minds of the Black community, then those people who are the most educated, they can disseminate the information to everyone else in the community, and we are all going to be uplifted. We are all going to be elevated because of that. Now, this is an idea from 1903, and it still rings true. It still reigns today in the Black community. I mean, because when we look at people who have been put in this position of what we call Black excellence, Sojourner Truth, W.E.B. Du Bois, Booker T. Washington, Frederick Douglass, Oprah Winfrey, LeBron James, Ta-Nehisi Coates, Barack Obama, Michelle Obama, you know, just so many different, the list goes on and on and on. George Washington Carver, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Carter G. Woodson, Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy, Muhammad Ali. Like I say, the list goes on and on and on. Your uncle, your auntie, your mama, your daddy, your sisters, your brothers. Black excellence, y'all. It is who we are. So on today's episode, I want to take a deeper dive into Black excellence in the Black community. Now, according to Urban Dictionary, the definition of Black excellence is someone that is Black and portrays great qualities and abilities that make the Black community proud. So it's about celebrating. It's about celebrating the achievements of Black people within the Black community. And that's important to Black people and worthy to be celebrated because we are exceeding and we are excelling and succeeding within a system that was designed for us to fail. It was put in place so that we will not succeed, so that it can hold us back. And even in the midst of it, we still break barriers. We still are pushing forward and pushing past these obstacles that were strategically put in place to keep us from excelling. So when we hear the word Black excellence, we are celebrating the advancement of our people. We are advancing, moving up, moving to the next level in some kind of capacity. And so that makes us proud. It makes us happy. It keeps us uplifted. It keeps us moving forward because there's a light at the end of the tunnel. It keeps us going. It keeps us moving forward. Even though our Black bodies are under attack, our humanity is under attack. We're not hopeless. We're not helpless. We can still overcome. Black excellence is a mindset. It's a mentality. It's like when we say, I am my ancestors' wildest dreams. We are becoming the things that and the people that our ancestors never imagined possible. Slaves built the White House, never with the intention or the thought that we would be president of that White House, that we would be living in there. That was never a thought, maybe. Maybe it was a dream. Maybe it was a wonder. I wonder if that would ever happen. And here it is. We've had a Black president, a Black family, a wife, a husband, grandmother, kids living in the White House and running the country. That was our ancestors' wildest dreams. We have many of us who own grocery stores, few people own banks. You know, people own their own homes. People have jobs in corporate America, or they're playing basketball on TV. They're making music. They're out here acting in movies and movie stars and, you know, people raising their children and being able to give them a good life and let them play. They're playing sports. They have refrigerators full of food. And, you know, just we are our ancestors' wildest dreams. Even the smallest things that we oftentimes take for granted, the ability to jump in our car, drive to Chipotle, get a burrito, stop at Ross, go buy an outfit, go out, go travel to Las Vegas for the weekend and stay in a nice hotel, walk through the front door, you know, be served at the table in a 5-star restaurant. We are our ancestors' wildest dreams. And that is why we say Black excellence. That's why we celebrate and we support and praise each other. When people rise up, Black people, we see them in certain positions. We see certain celebrities. It inspires us. It uplifts us. It makes us want to do it too. It gives us hope because we see that, or we feel that we're progressing as a people. Now, on the flip side, when we talk about Black excellence, could it also harm us? You know, this idea, this mindset, these actions that we're taking to get to the next level, are we pushing ourselves extra hard? And that's what's causing us to have a lot of, like I say, the depression, the anxiety, the, you know, stress that's on us, a lot of pressure to try to move to the next level. Do we end up losing who we are and we lose sight of the purposes to progress? And then now we're moving to these next levels. And does it change? Does the idea change to greed? Does it change to having the most of something? Does it change our idea of feeling superior over other people in the Black community, that we want other people to look up to us? You know, there's certain things that this idea of Black excellence can cause us to have kind of skewed perceptions, like of money and what wealth is, and getting to this place of generational wealth and creating it, you know, working for a company that is so prestigious and just going to like Ivy League schools and killing ourselves to get in there. You know, when I talk about, I mentioned Simone Biles and I put her in the title because we just talked about it. She is excellent. She is number one in the world. And yet and still, when she was competing right now for the Olympics, she's doing, like I said, excellent, phenomenal. Most people could never do what she's doing. And yet she felt disappointed with her performances. And what did they catch her saying? You're number one in the world. You hold the record. Nobody can beat you. And she's saying to herself, those sucked. And then they caught her saying, I want to die, because it didn't come off the way that she wanted it to. You know, when she fell on the beam and then she tried to do something on the vault, some kind of, you know, gymnastics thing, they heard her saying those words. The mic was hot. And she says, those suck. Just very hard on herself. I want to die. All of that. But you're number one. So there is maybe a lot of pressure that we put on ourselves to be the best, to excel. And yes, that will lead to a lot of just us being very hard on ourselves, very, very harsh, very, you know, not having compassion for ourselves, not feeling like we can make any mistakes. And when you feel like that, yes, it can lead to a lot of mental distress, a lot of emotional distress. So we have to find a balance. Like with athletes, there are people right now, kids in school that are coming up and they are phenomenal athletes. But yet, in order for them to feel like they're excellent or they're doing something, they feel like they have to go pro. I got to go to the NBA. I got to make it to the NFL. If I don't, then I'm not excellent. Then I'm not, I don't have no black girl magic. I'm not the best. And that's not true, because you still can be the best. You know, so that's what I mean, having a balance. It can't be that all or nothing type of thinking, because then you're going to hurt yourself. That's not healthy. You know, if you want to be, the idea is, oh, I got to be famous. I got to become a successful, you know, YouTube influencer. And if I don't do that, then I'm nothing. And that's not true. So like I said, we have to look at these things and we got to be, have a balance. You got to, you know, it's always good to set goals. We have to set goals. We got to have something to aspire to. That's what keeps you going as well. But we got to have a balance, you know, and just keep in mind, black excellence is subjective. It's whatever you want it to be. It's whatever your idea of achievement or advancement means to you. Maybe you made the honor roll. Maybe you got a promotion at your job. Maybe you made it to the Olympics. Something else that's important to know about the term black excellence is that it comes from the civil rights movement. Well, after the civil rights movement, because before the civil rights movement and during the civil rights movement, you know, it didn't matter like how educated you were, how talented, how gifted, how hard you worked. None of that. It didn't matter. You know, you were still being seen as black and you had nothing to offer and you were inferior to white people. And that's still the same today in a lot of ways. Of course, you know, it's just a little more hidden. It's built into our systems, but it was like openly, everybody knew this information and it was just out there in your face. Boom. Black people weren't seen as competent, as law abiding citizens, as wholesome people. And of course, that's still part of what we deal with today. And you know, after slavery ended, we had to try to figure out how to make it, how to help ourselves, how to survive. And in America, white people have always been more financially, economically advanced than black people. White people hold the best jobs. They hold the high positions in the companies. They have more money. They have generational wealth. And so that's why black people have been seen as inferior, because we didn't hold those positions. We don't have that money. We don't have the same economic power. And we still deal with so much ignorance and just lack of understanding and racism. You know, you hear people say all the time, well, Black people have been free for over X amount of years. You know, they need to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. I don't see why they haven't achieved. You know, why aren't there a lot of Black doctors? Why aren't there a lot of Black lawyers? I don't know why there aren't a lot of Black, you know, successful Fortune 500 business owners that are Black people. They have been free for so long. It's that they're, are they lazy? Maybe they're less intelligent. You know, they just don't work as hard as everyone else. So all of those stereotypes come about, and that's what we have to constantly fight against, this, you know, blame being put towards Black people of why we aren't where we are, why we don't have certain opportunities, and why a lot of us don't have wealth. But the thing is, we're not being offered, we're not being provided the opportunities oftentimes. So then when we do see Black people in certain positions, we see them with the opportunities, we see them in certain settings, in certain rooms, in certain cars, in certain houses, in certain positions, it makes us feel proud. It makes us feel inspired. And we see that as Black excellence. Like I said, there are so many things holding us back, so many stereotypes about Black people, so much oppression that we've had to deal with, so much negativity and just disparities within the community. So in the 60s and the 70s, that's where this term Black excellence really started to emerge, because it was a way for us to disprove those negative stereotypes. Black people in America were expected to not excel, to not succeed, for us to do the minimal. You know, nothing more was expected of us. We had, you know, they had low expectations for us in white America. So like I say, a lot of negative stereotypes and just expecting us to not be able to move up higher or to advance as a people. And so that phrase, Black excellence, came about because it was challenging the idea that we're lazy, we're inferior, that we can't excel. And instead, Black excellence gives us the hope and the encouragement that we need to advance, to excel. Because it's about love of our culture. It's about self-love. It's about Black pride. It's about taking pride in our community and just supporting each other, loving each other, cheering each other on, and uplifting each other so that we can reach our full potential. That's Black excellence. And when we talk about Black girl magic, Black boy joy, Black excellence, all of that Black pride, all of that is our way of changing the narrative. Because for so long, society, white America, has pushed the narrative. The narrative has been written for us, has been pushed that, like I said, we're lazy, we're inadequate, we're not worthy, we're not good people, we're not able to achieve because we don't want to. We want things given to us. And that's not true. We work hard, and we've always worked hard. Black people have built America, built the White House. You know, I love Washington, D.C. when I go there and I go to the museums and all of these places. But I just cannot help but thinking every time that I'm there and I'm looking at the road, I'm looking at the grounds, the little cobblestone roads that they have in certain areas. I'm looking at all of these buildings and these monuments, and slaves built them. I'm looking at all of these historical locations and things that they have, and this was built by my ancestors, our ancestors. Black people are not lazy. We are investors. We are teachers. We are actors. We are singers. We are creatives. We are social workers, psychologists, doctors, lawyers, mailmen, plumbers, business owners, bankers, athletes, we're engineers. We are so much more. We're computer software developers. We do so much. We are amazing. We are excellent. And we have to remind ourselves of that, because so many times, and we have to uplift each other because we are being torn down every single day. Every day there is going to be something negative, something that is being put in our face to harm us, to stop us, to block us. And so we have to be reminded of how excellent and how wonderful and how amazing we are, how gifted, how talented we are. And that's why we uplift each other. And that's why we put hashtag Black Excellence underneath our posts when our babies graduate from high school. That's why we put hashtag Black Excellence when we see our friend started a cupcake business. That's why we put hashtag Black Excellence when we see a Black person on there and they busting 3, 4, 5 backflips in a row. That's why we like, wow, look at us. We are beautiful. We are amazing. We are powerful. We are elite. We are excellent. We are here and we're striving every day to become the best versions of ourselves. Let me tell you how. You know what time it is. It's time to cope. It's time to pull out our coping toolboxes. I'm going to give us some tools to toss in there today to help us celebrate Black excellence. Remember, we are going to be building this coping toolbox every time that we're together so that we can keep everything that we need that can help calm us during times of distress and help us to express how we feel in healthy ways. The first thing that I want you to do is celebrate good times. Come on, let's celebrate. Let's celebrate and praise each and every one of us. It doesn't have to be that you graduated from an Ivy League school. It doesn't have to be that you're a lawyer or you're a doctor. Let's celebrate you getting a promotion at your county job or your city job. Let's celebrate the fact that you found love, that you've started a family. And it doesn't even have to be that we acquired something. Just celebrate the fact that we exist, the fact that we are still here, the fact that we still have life, we still have dreams, we still have goals, we still have ambition, we still have guidance, we still have God, we have direction. Celebrate and rejoice. Another thing that you can do to just remember who you are, to remember why you are striving for advancement, why we celebrate advancement and excellence in our community, is to remind yourself, you know, go to the Black Mecca, go to Atlanta, and just that is the center of Black culture. And you can go and look at the civil rights movement, retrace the footsteps. You know, it's historically known for a lot of things that happened during the civil rights era. You can visit the Civil Rights Museum. You can go to Martin Luther King Jr. National Historic Park. You can check out Ebenezer Baptist Church. You could also go to Martin Luther King's home where he was born at, his birth home. There's the Apex Museum and so much more. Just check it out. Go to Atlanta and that can kind of get you inspired again, and you can remember and recall. Go to Madam CJ Walker's beauty shop in her museum and remember why we celebrate Black excellence. If you've already been to Atlanta and you've already seen all of those sites, go to Washington, D.C. Go to the National Museum of African American History and Culture. Go to Memphis, Tennessee, the home of blues. Go to the Lorraine Motel and see where Martin Luther King was assassinated to remind you of his sacrifice and why we celebrate Black excellence. Go to New York City and check out the Schomburg Center for Research in Black Culture. Go to the Apollo Theater. Go and be reminded and refreshed and rejuvenated. Go check out Detroit, the Motor City. Check out Motown and remember what Black excellence is about. Another way that you can celebrate Black excellence is give back to the community by supporting Black-owned businesses. Support our Black entrepreneurs. Buy from Black people. Spending your money with Black-owned businesses is a way to keep money in our community, to build economic empowerment and wealth. You know, and just to backtrack, you know, I mentioned a whole bunch of places that you can travel to learn about Black history, but there are places that you can go to in your own local area because Black history is all around us. It's everywhere. And we might not even know it. We might not even recognize it. So look it up online and try to see what is there in your city. What are some historical places that you can go to, some Black influence in the area, in the community? Go visit a museum or something that might have artwork or music or contributions from the Black community. And also look within your own family. Start to ask questions and talk to your family members. What has happened in your life, in your family members' lives that you didn't know about? What is the history of your family or, you know, generations before you? What can you learn about your own Black history, your own family history? Maybe you can become a mentor, start up a program, or volunteer somewhere to help the young Black boys and the young Black girls, to help them to reach their full potential and just be someone that can inspire and uplift and educate them. You want to support Black creatives too. You know, there's poets, there are musicians, there are people who do a lot of just very creative things, visual artists, poets, you know, there's people that do spoken word, there's authors, people writing books, just very creative, talented people, singers, you know, dancers, all kinds of things. Support them, find out where they are, go to their show, go to their festivals, you know, and just buy a piece of artwork by a Black person, go to an event and just watch their talent and let them perform and show you their amazing, elite, excellent, extraordinary talents. So that's something that we can all do. Something else that we can do is, you know, celebrate Black literature. Read some Black books. Check out a Black bookstore and buy from them instead of buying books off of Barnes & Noble or off of Amazon. Go to a Black bookstore and support them. And you're doing two things. You're supporting Black literature and you're also supporting Black business when we do that. So, you know, a lot of work of the Black writers isn't as celebrated as the work of white authors. So we have to be the ones to get out there, you know, nonfiction books, fiction books, whatever it is, we have to support each other and just take ownership over our narratives, over our story, over our experiences. Don't let anyone else educate us and tell us and teach us in school history books about our history. Get out there and read for yourself. Read some romance books. Read some, you know, whatever it is that you want. Support Black authors and Black literature, you know, and just learn about Black history, period. You know, the show Unsung. Watch a little show on TV about Unsung, about, you know, read about somebody. Look online, watch some YouTube videos about some of our unsung heroes in Black history. There are so many people, so many names that you may have never heard. Go to the bookstore and buy a book about Black history and about different figures and just learn about it, you know, and become an activist. You can support racial justice work. You can go to a facility, a place where, you know, there's a lot of nonprofits. And they're out there working hard and they're working for free and they're working for the betterment of us as a whole, for the entire community. So it's a lot of work that they have to do. They're very tired. They're fatigued. So it can be helpful to have some volunteers or even to donate money. You know, when we're talking about and doing the work of racial injustice or promoting racial equity, that is difficult work. It is very taxing mentally, emotionally. When you're talking about police violence, sexual assault, racism, you know, just breaking through barriers and trying to break into certain industries, you know, all of that, it's very taxing. And so it's good to have support. So like I say, donate time, donate money, whatever you want to do. So these are some ways that we can celebrate Black excellence, that we can contribute, that we can push the culture forward, that we can create our own narratives. And in the words of Simone Biles, I leave you with this. I'd rather regret the risks that didn't work out than the chances I didn't take at all. And on that note, that's all the tools that I got. Go ahead and put those coping toolboxes away, y'all. It's time for one of my favorite parts of the show, movie therapy, music therapy. I would like to dedicate today's episode to the song called Already by Beyoncé. And the song says, long live the king, you a king, you know it. King already, already, you know it. Top everything, everything, you know it. King already, already, you know it. Mind, body, soul, got a king body. Body gon' shine, bling, bling, body. Calling all the shots, ring, ring, body. Crown on your head, got a king body. Long live the king, you a king, you know it. King already, my baby, you know it. Top everything, everything, you know it. King already, already, you know it. Shine already, it's time already, in line already, it's time already. Shine already, it's time already, in line already, it's time already. Try to stop me, me say no, no, no. Royalty say don't you no, no, no. I believe that, I receive that, and I mean that. It's coping season, y'all. Thank you for joining me this week. I hope you all enjoyed this episode. You are not only listeners, you are my co-hosts, and we are a community. And I would love to hear from you. I'd love to hear your stories, experiences, and thoughts related to life issues, topics you'd like to hear discussed, or questions you'd like answered. Please visit me on the web at drtinaweb.com and click on Ask Dr. Tina to submit your questions, thoughts, and more. Tune in every Wednesday to hear my response. You can also check out the show notes as well as other contact information on the website. In the meantime and in between time, for additional updates, conversations, and more ways to interact, please connect with me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Dr. Tina Webb. That's DrTinaWebb. Feel free to share your thoughts from the show on social media using the hashtag CopingSeasonPodcast. Lastly, please subscribe, rate, and review wherever you are listening to help others find the show and learn to cope just like you. I appreciate and read every single review. Thank you so much for listening to the show and for spreading the word to all of your friends, family, and coworkers. I so appreciate it. Thank you, and I'll see you next week.